We've attracted a large number of tenants, quite diverse group of tenants, to the Maker Hub. And, you know, all our hard work and fundraising and putting together the money for this and learning best practices around the country and, you know, centered around TXRX proved to be a real win for TXRX, and I really believe for the Houston region itself. I think this project is one of a kind, and it really is going to move the dial on manufacturing and innovation and the growth of manufacturing in the city.
Welcome to the Manufacture Houston podcast, where Houston's manufacturers come to share, learn, and grow. Brought to you by Alchemy Industrial. For more information, check out alchemyindustrial.com.
In today's episode of the Manufacture Houston podcast, we meet the team behind the East End Maker Hub. This industrial makerspace and manufacturing center is going to be home to Houston's top fabricators, manufacturers, crafters, and innovators. This space is going to revolutionize manufacturing for Houston and beyond.
Okay, welcome everybody to today's episode of the Manufacture Houston podcast. We've got some really cool guests on today with TXRX and the East End Maker Hub. So three guests on today. We normally only have one, so it's going to be a lively conversation. So I'm really excited to talk about TXRX and the East End Maker Hub. So let's go do some introductions so our audience gets to know who we're talking to. So Roland, why don't you kick us off? Tell us about you and tell us about TXRX and the history and what TXRX does and how we got to this point of working in the East End Maker Hub.
Sure. So TXRX has been around for about 12 years now. We actually started out as a very small kind of just, you know, community maker space. We actually were in a closet initially. Actually, we met in a coffee shop for the first couple months. And it was the idea, you know, started as, you know, pretty simply, you know, there's a place to hang out. If you are into golf, you go to the, you know, the country club or the golf, range. But, you know, if you're into something like electronics or fabrication or welding, you know, where do people like that kind of meet and congregate, share information, share resources? And so this TXRX really started as that kind of the you know, clubhouse maybe, or the meeting point and for folks who liked design, engineering, and fabrication. And so we started with a very small space with some tools, and it's kind of, you know, grown from there. You know, and the as we've moved along, we've kind of, you know, rolled in a lot of different aspects that we see as critical to that kind of mission. You know, and we've moved from kind of just the membership model to you know, actively executing job training, you know, technology-based youth programming, prototyping, and, you know, community memberships to 68,000 square feet of tools and engineers and such. And so I think that's been kind of our trajectory over the last 11 years. I think it's culminated in a mission of basically trying to bring manufacturing companies and growing manufacturing companies in Houston, because we believe that, you know, manufacturing and physical kind of innovation drive some of the best job growth in Houston across the board. So there's a wide or kind of a long tail of jobs that are associated with physical manufacturing and innovation, everything from, you know, fabrication jobs to warehousing jobs to transport jobs, you know, logistics. There's all that is in there. And Houston already is, you know, has that kind of in our DNA. And so offer, you know, focusing on a way to pivot and kind of, you know, widen the array of things that we do here in Houston, while also ensuring that we have those good jobs for folks, which is, I think, driven a lot of our growth, you know, is really become our mission. And, you know, about, well, I guess it's 2.5 years ago, 3 years ago, We kind of outgrew our current location, and we're, you know, going to lose it because the landlord wanted to, probably look at other options for the land. We met up with UpCDC and, started the idea of, well, let's expand what we're doing to create even more jobs and more opportunities in the East End and throughout Houston. And that kind of led to the creation of the East End Maker Hub, which is our current home.
So Roland, what was the thing that led you personally to want to start TXRX those many years ago in a coffee shop?
Yeah, I worked for a bank, JP Morgan, making basically software and, it's glorified spreadsheets, is most banking software. And so I don't know if that was really as exciting as I liked. And someone asked me to build them a it's called a flight bag for the iPads. This is when the iPad just come out. And so I built a flight bag, a digital flight bag. And as part of that, we were using satellite radio to get weather data for it. And I had to build some kind of, a physical piece to my software piece, which was basically the hardware to pull the satellite data. And my app looked really great and everything, but boy, did my enclosure that held my electronics look horrible. Cause I, used a General Moto tool in my garage to, hack some holes in a NEMA box. And I was like, man, there's gotta be a better, there's gotta be somewhere around town where I can, prototype this myself and get access to some real tools, like a CNC machine to cut this, more easily. And so I started looking, and lo and behold, there wasn't. But there was this kind of nascent group of people who were starting to get together under this kind of makerspace, hackerspace manner. And so I got together with them and I said, we got to get some tools. We need tools. This is, for prototyping, they're required, and there's no way to get good access to them. And so we were like, all right, yeah, this makes sense. We all need access to 3D printers and, laser cutters and CNC machines and stuff like that. And then once I saw the number of people that kind of showed up, wanting help, right? So there was, a NASA engineer and a physicist from Rice, and there was a group of, probably a group of do-it-yourselfers, but then every time we'd have a meeting, you'd get 10 people walk in the door because they'd heard about the meetings and they'd have questions, right? I'm doing this project, need help. I want to make this prototype, but I don't know how to. I want to, I need help fixing this machine. And so, from that kind of help that was needed, I kind of realized that this was way cooler than writing software for a bank. This was an opportunity to do something new kind of every day and learn a new skill every day. If you're willing to put the time and effort in. And so that's really what led me to doing this.
That's great. That's a great story, Roland. I think this idea of just creating something valuable and that eventually people will show up and participate and grow, I think it's a great organic growth story of TXRX. So thanks for that background. So Patrick and Mike, I'm curious about both of you. So Patrick, tell us about you, your background, and more about the whole development of the East End Maker Hub.
Sure. So I met, I'll start with meeting Roland. I met Roland probably 8 or 9 years ago, and he was in about 2,000 square feet of space, and they had just started a few years before that. And my job at that point was promoting economic development and job growth in the East End of Houston. And Roland already at that point had some ideas about manufacturing jobs. And I was really fascinated with his business and what they were doing and the whole maker activity that they were working on. My background was real estate development and construction. So I'd been developing projects in and around Houston for many years and built apartment projects, renovated warehouses, and done other developments in and around Houston. And then in 2008, gravitated to promoting economic development, job growth. And the East End is a neighborhood where you have about 80,000 people and 84% Hispanic, median household income of below $40,000. And so when I begin to learn about manufacturing and manufacturing jobs, I begin to see that, you know, growth in manufacturing and maker industries and small businesses could really help that neighborhood. And then over the years, we worked on a few ideas as Roland's TXRX began to move their mission more towards STEM education and teaching young individuals and high school students about manufacturing and high-tech manufacturing and entrepreneurship. We began to work on ideas for projects and had one failed attempt about 5 years ago where we had a building and we were trying to get city and public funding for that, and it didn't work out. But then a little over 3 years ago, Roland called me up and said, hey, you got time to visit? So went over to his conference room at the old TXRX space. And he said, hey, I think we're going to lose our building. The landlord wants to develop the building. And he said, you know, what should we do? And I said, well, we should buy you a building. He said, how do we do that? I said, I really don't know, but let's figure it out. And that was really the genesis of starting up CDC, because as I began to look around the country at models for putting together a manufacturing building and building a facility or buying a facility, there's community development corporations around the country that had access to public funding and grants and things like that. So it's actually at that point that I created Urban Partnerships Community Development Corporation, or UPCDC. And then for literally 36 months, we worked really hard. We found a building within 7 or 8 months and then worked really hard at the funding. And it was a big team effort. The entire board of TXRX and UPCDC and our board began to work on it, began to bring city council folks over there. We pitched it to HUD for some special HUD financing. We worked and received an EDA grant, but all told, and this is a long story made super short, we raised just under $40 million to build a 300 or to renovate a 300,000 square foot building that was previously a single tenant Baker Hughes manufacturing facility. Now, to get there, we traveled around the country and we looked at the major maker spaces in other parts of the country, in New York and Pittsburgh and Indianapolis. And we met with folks in San Francisco called SF Made that are doing maker spaces. And you either had just sort of a maker space that did some of the things that TXRX does, or you had a facility that was leased out to small businesses and manufacturers, but we didn't see the combination of the two. But one of the things with TXRX is that soon after they established in a larger space and had grown to 55,000 feet, they had small businesses and manufacturing groups that wanted to co-locate with them because they had access to the TXRX staff engineers and scientists, and they had access to equipment. And so we saw immediately that there was a demand for manufacturing groups and companies. They wanted to be near TXRX because of their services, their support, their prototyping, their ideation, and innovation work that they could do. And so we began to really conceptualize the idea of having a good amount of lease space with TXRX in the building. So in the end, we created the East End Maker Hub, and I'm the president of the East End Maker Hub. And Mike Pittman is the vice president of real estate for the Maker Hub. And we do the real estate side, really. It's TXRX that does the supportive work on manufacturing. We've attracted a large number of tenants, quite diverse group of tenants, to the Maker Hub. And, you know, all our hard work and fundraising and putting together the money for this and learning best practices around the country and you know, centered around TXRX proved to be a real win for TXRX. And I really believe for the Houston region itself, I think this project is one of a kind, and it really is going to move the dial on manufacturing and innovation and the growth of manufacturing in the city.
I totally agree, Patrick. And I think a lot of Houstonians would be surprised to learn the scale and the scope of the project, and the fact that the team raised $40 million of funding. And since I'm on the board of TXRX, I was able to sort of witness the work that everybody did to get it there. And it's no small effort that has produced this amazing result. Mike, tell us about you and tell us about how the real estate portion of this is coming along in terms of the tenants that you're seeing, in terms of who's interested in the space, who's come on board, et cetera.
Yeah, so I am the son of a developer and broker out of my father was a developer in Springfield, Illinois. My mother was a broker in Illinois as well too, and they did projects of economic development that would have been in maybe your equivalent of your fifth ward in Springfield, Illinois, for shopping centers, apartments, and office buildings and such. And was kind of a trailblazer in that field for doing so. And so the way I got onto this project was literally a cold call. And that's kind of been some of the theme of even on the leasing that I'll talk a little bit later on. But I cold called Patrick, and this was in 2019, probably I would say late Q3, beginning of Q4. And so this is right around the time when the Maker Hub, we're almost closed on the property. I hadn't been on the team yet. Patrick on UpCDC's end had been doing a large push all on his own. And then obviously in conjunction with the board and then with TXRX and other partners. But I cold called Patrick in regards to some data that I had shown. I saw that his name was listed on for a property that that he was associated with in the past, some years back. And upon that cold call, I tell people this, that Patrick literally, he told me, he said, "Hey, I'm kind of busy right now, but call me back in about 6 months or so, and maybe we'll talk then. But shoot me an email and a LinkedIn, and let's stay connected." And I did that, and then about 5 minutes later, I got a text message from him, and he said, "Hey, I just looked you up. Can you talk tomorrow?" And I said, "Well, I thought you were busy for 6 months." But no, so and all jokes aside, from there, we met up a few days later, and Patrick was telling me the vision that they were really, really close to finalizing. And you know, I thought it was going to be a visit on more kind of general commercial real estate brokerage that I was doing before. And what turned from just a general fill out actually turned out to be, hey, we have a big need for leasing out the Maker Hub and somebody to help assist on the day-to-day development operations, because Patrick has done a lot of that. But, you know, for a project like this with so many moving parts, there's needs for, you know, kind of having some development associates and on board. So I came on as a development associate originally. And in January of 2020, so probably about not even 30 days after the project had closed on the project. And then from there, hit the ground running to try to get a bunch of systems in order and get our leasing established and working on owner architect contractor meetings and kind of, you know, basically being secondhand to Patrick on kind of development operations as well too. So it's been exciting, and some of the year to date now, we've had a really unique mix of tenants, which I kind of talk about is we've been able to sign coffee roaster, a distillery, additive manufacturers who are in 3D printing technologies, working on signing a company that creates and manufactures 3D printers, to companies who are doing time-tested manufacturing operations like woodworking and candle manufacturing that, you know, are thousand year old practices to even this last company that I mentioned, this one, to bring the cold call kind of joke full circle. We've signed a company to 11,000 square feet that's doing 3D printed human tissue organs, which had a lot of different pieces of press about this project. So we kind of run the whole gauntlet of manufacturing, and that 3D printed human tissue organ company reached out to them via another just cold LinkedIn message and said, "Hey, are you interested in, you know, the maker head? Let's talk." And then next thing you know, we're kicking the can down the road and we have a lease signed. So we really have a great unique balance of tenants, over 25 different companies right now, and, you know, probably another 45,000 square feet of leases kind of teed up, ready to go in the queue as I speak on the phone right now. So really excited about that.
So Mike, that's a great story of cold calling, first of all, that you got to pick up the phone, you got to reach out to people. You never know when what you do can help somebody. In this case, your background obviously was helpful for Patrick and everything that is happening now at the East End Maker Hub. Tell us a little bit about where we are in terms of how full the facility is as of today and where you think we might be, let's say, towards the end of the year.
Yeah, great question. As of right now, we're fluctuating around 55 to 60% occupied right now, and you know, I think a lot of that we're really excited to attribute to some of the more recent leases that we signed. Once COVID hit in 2020, that was a kind of difficult time from March to September to lease out space, and then once September came around, a lot of the kind of pre-work that we were doing throughout that time, a lot of the work started to kind of shift over from me on the proactive side to operators being on the proactive side and saying, "Hey, tell me more in one of these spaces." So consequently, the majority of our activity has kind of been compressed into kind of Q4 of 2020 from there to today. And so I think that, you know, by the end of this year, we should be sitting at, you know, maybe 90% occupied for the entire project. So we've been really pleased with the demand and the growth, especially as we come out, more people come out to play, to use a colloquial phrase, right? At the facility.
Well, that's great. That's amazing progress in a really short period of time, because we have really just opened up over the last couple of months in terms of being able to occupy the facility. So the prospect of being almost full by the end of 2021 really speaks to the problem that the East End Maker Hub and TXRX is solving. So Roland, let's turn back to you. I want to ask the three of you, starting with you, Roland, about the future and what you hope will happen over the next, let's say, 3 to 5 years in manufacturing and in Houston. What does success look like for each of you? Roland, why don't you go first on that question?
Well, that's a great question. Well, you know, the truth is, I think the Maker Hub has kind of kicked off, I think, an interesting process that I didn't fully expect, which is, you know, it's kind of serving as a lightning rod for folks who have a need. And so, you know, it's kind of accelerated the work that we were already kind of doing. And so, you know, we've got, I think previously when we were a little bit smaller, it was a little bit kind of harder for people to see a grand vision, if that makes any sense. But now they're kind of coming to the Maker Hub and they're kind of seeing the scale of it and the direction and going, okay, you know, I see how this works now. And so what that has led to is, you know, a lot of interest from other entities to say, okay, how do we not just make this a one-off in Houston, but how do we scale this and turn this into you know, a larger program that drives, you know, kind of 21st century manufacturing in Houston. And that's, you know, across the board from kind of philanthropic foundations to, you know, real estate developers to, you know, Fortune 50 companies that are seeing the kind of practical aspect, I think, which is the approach that we take. You know, I think there's a lot of talk about innovation and about, you know, startups, but I think part of the problem is that the startup model that maybe the rest of the world, the rest of the country has, that really focuses around unicorns and venture capital funds, it's not really perfectly suited to manufacturing, because manufacturing, I think, is a slower, kind of more intensive, but also maybe more real process. And so now that folks are kind of seeing this, that there are all these companies out there, there's all these manufacturing startups and folks with really great ideas in biomedical, additive manufacturing, you know, traditional manufacturing, crafting, you know, wearables and all sorts of kind of embedded IoT technologies. They're the kind of, you know, the idea is now in their head, they see it. And so I think that's really the direction that we're kind of taking, that right now, the 5-year kind of plan is, it's, I guess it's, you know, just an expansion or an integration plan, right? Now that people see the services that we offer and the concept that we have, and that part of that concept really does revolve around space and resources and collaboration. You know, they're interested and they're reaching out to us to have us, you know, work with them. You know, I think a great example is, you know, two of our largest kind of entities we work with are Waste Management and Berkshire Hathaway. And so, you know, they've kind of seen that the ability to rapidly get to a MVP and have access to, you know, prototyping experts, both within TXRX, but also within other companies, other startups and small scale manufacturing and prototyping firms, allows them to get to market, you know, or just find out that something isn't feasible a lot faster. And so they're, you know, they have a space at the Maker Hub, and they've been in engaging with us on a number of projects already. And I think that is only going to grow. And so I think the next 5 years will really just probably be an expansion of the Maker Hub, because to tell you the truth, 300,000 square feet is kind of a drop in the bucket when it comes to manufacturing in Houston, in my opinion. And also, you know, taking the model that we have and, you know, integrating it into more startups and more, you know, kind of large scale and mid scale companies.
Well, Roland, I think it's such a great point that in manufacturing, the manufacturing businesses tend to move slower in a sense, because you're in constant contact with reality and building real things, and you can only move that process along so quickly. The other point that I think is right on the money is that once people are seeing the East End Maker Hub live and in person, that helps to, I think, crystallize the vision of what the whole development is about and helps to create, I think, additional ideas for growth. Patrick, what about you? Put yourself in the time machine. What do you think the future could hold, and where would you like to see us go in terms of manufacturing in Houston? And to take off on one of Roland's points, what other things could we be doing? What other development opportunities could be out there for us?
Well, you know, when we began looking at this and working on the funding, you know, our funding sources are largely public funding sources. And so one of the things that we identified in the city of Houston, they currently have a need for around 10,000 high-tech manufacturing jobs a year. And 6,000 or 7,000 of those folks are new jobs that are coming into the market. And 3,000 or 4,000 are individuals that are retiring. And so to me, one of the takeaways being in economic development and really starting to look at populations that are getting high school degrees, but not, you know, largely not going to college, like in the East End and the surrounding neighborhoods, only about 15 to 20% on the high side go to college. And so you have a tremendous amount of individuals that are getting high school education, but need a living wage job. And one of the great things about manufacturing is that the jobs in manufacturing, you know, are good jobs. They, you know, they might start out as a trainee at $18 an hour, but if you learn electronics assembly, you could get over $30 an hour. And it's similar if you're doing pharmaceuticals or medical device manufacturing or other things. And so for the folks coming into the Maker Hub, we projected we'll have as many as 400 jobs or more than that. And a large portion of those would be individuals that can be trained for those jobs. So all these companies that come in sign sort of a partnership agreement with us, and they agree that they'll hire folks that have gone through TXRX training and development. So to me, it's a win-win. You're looking at a Houston region, and it's not dissimilar in a lot of places, where you have large numbers of individuals that need good paying jobs that aren't college bound. And you have this industry, which has a tremendous trajectory for growth right now, that needs individuals that have learned, you know, certain technical skills for CNC operated machinery or other manufacturing type skills that can be trained. And we have an organization at TXRX that trains those individuals. So to me, doing more projects like this where we have a supportive network so that we can integrate the high schools and the neighborhood and other individuals to fill the jobs that are getting created, I think it's a great thing for the city. And the thing that I love about the Maker Hub is we're directly reaching out to folks in the East End, the Third Ward, and the Fifth Ward through high schools and education. And we want to have these projects integrate the individuals that live near them. Because the truth is, these jobs would fill anyway, but without a program like TXRX training and developing individuals, they would come from all over the city, which is not a bad thing. But you have neighborhoods that really need this revenue. So from my viewpoint, from the CDC, that's the supportive group of this in terms of the real estate development, you know, it's a wealth building project. We're bringing wealth into these neighborhoods. We're generating economic development, and it has the potential to really make a big difference for the city. And I think, you know, if you just look around the country, there's a need for that in many, many places. And there's many things that I've learned, you know, through Roland and through watching that you can't outship and put in China or other places. There's things because of the size of the batching or the type of the product or the custom order nature of the product that they need to be done here locally. And so to me, it's just a great project. I get excited about the idea of generating jobs that are living wage jobs and, you know, building wealth in neighborhoods and then working with entrepreneurs to generate new businesses and new ideas. And, you know, the truth is the chemical additive in this mix is TXRX, because we've seen that they're a huge magnet. And even the folks that don't know about TXRX, when they come over here and learn about TXRX and what they do, they're attracted to the space. So, you know, I personally like to see this grow and see more facilities like this and to see it really become the prototype for future projects in and around the city and eventually in other cities to really, you know, create those jobs and to create a big benefit for the areas that these projects are in.
Patrick, I think that's so right. And it's so true that this notion of a virtuous cycle that can happen from jobs that are good paying jobs, doing real things, creating real value for the city, the state, country, and beyond, that produces an amazing wealth impact for the communities that we're in and for the East End and for Houston in general. So I think the potential is tremendous as we move forward. Mike, let's let you bring us home. What about you? What do you think the next few years could look like?
Yeah, so I think that kind of what we've exhibited in leasing so far is really kind of what we'll see as a snapshot of the future. So like what we've seen, like, especially during the pandemic, small batch manufacturing is not only here, but it's here to stay. There's a lot of people who started their own businesses during the pandemic timeline, and they may never go back. You know, for whatever reason, maybe they enjoy being around their family, or they enjoy the freedom of running their own business. And so I think that vertical is here to stay and will only grow as time continues to tell. And then when we talk about the different industries like medical manufacturing, robotics, electronic vehicles, your advanced 3D printing and additive manufacturing, I think that those systems are only going to continue to grow throughout our Houston region, and they're here to stay, frankly. And so I really gets me excited to know that those kind of, you know, four or five different verticals are here, and they have, you know, a lot of growth potential, and really at every sector of the game. If you're an institution or a large corporate institution, and you have another vertical that you need to create within your company because you see a gap that can be met, after speaking with your board, or if you're a startup who says, hey, I can be more nimble and really be on the ground and create something and kind of devote my next X amount of years of my life towards this. So I'm really happy about that. And even, selfishly, where we're at with the Maker Hub and TXRX and UpCDC, I feel like, we've kind of provided a missing link in the chain that really, really I'm excited that, Patrick and Roland and many more people have worked to discover this missing link, which is, you can go to some of our sister, what we like to call sister projects, who we don't see them as competitors, and we see them as contributors to this kind of innovation manufacturing industry. But at some point, if you're innovating something that has a hardware component, kind of like what Roland mentioned earlier on the call, you're going to get down to having to do ideation and rapid prototyping, and I think for what the Maker Hub does, and future projects that we would look at, it would entail us being that missing link, and that the secret sauce is, have, like Patrick said, having TXRX on board. It takes you from just kind of open empty space to really a great activation, where you can have a synergy and kind of the energy at a facility that has TXRX and other companies who are in those same verticals I mentioned previously.
Well, thanks, Mike, for that. Well said. And we need you to keep on making those cold calls to really create a nice financial vision for this. And I know you will. Roland, just to wrap up with you, how can people get in touch with TXRX, learn more about TXRX, and also learn about the project itself?
Well, I think the easiest way to get in touch with us is via our website, txrxlabs.org, or just stop by. We have one of our staff members is always excited to show people around our facility, and let them learn about TXRX and the Maker Hub. So I think those are their best two ways to get involved.
Great. Thanks, Roland. Well, this has been an amazing conversation, and I know that we actually have a grand opening coming up on June 3rd, and we'll be sharing more information about that publicly as time goes by, but it's a great opportunity for everyone in Houston, especially the people that love manufacturing, to learn more about TXRX and the East End Maker Hub. And I would encourage anyone in our community to get involved with this entire project. This is just the tip of the iceberg, as all three of our guests have talked about. And we each have an opportunity to create a transformational future for Houston. So thanks, guys, very much for joining us. And I really appreciate everything that the three of you have done to make a difference in Houston.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks much. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Thanks.
This has been the Manufacture Houston podcast, brought to you by Alchemy Industrial. For more information, check out alchemyindustrial.com. If you'd like to be on the show or want to recommend someone to get on the show, just reach out to me on LinkedIn. MUSHKHAN, Mushkan. I look forward to hearing from you.